Unveiled with Niamh and Nessa, a Go Loud original podcast.
Go on, you go.
It's every time we start this episode, we both argue over who opens it first.
I think we've both given each other a complex. We never used to be like this, and then when we just started, and now it won't stop. It won't stop.
Okay, welcome back to season 4. We are back in your ear, bitches. And this is a Go Loud original podcast. And yeah, we're happy to be back in your ears. Thank God. Missed you.
Missed you so much.
Yeah, missed you so
much. I missed you so much that I kind of unsolicitedly called you yesterday. Well, I asked you, could I call you? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, hey, miss you.
And if you
I'm not a caller.
Oh, well, you called me on WhatsApp. I was like, is this a piss take? Has she sat on her phone? You rang me to be like, hey, babe.
I know. I rang you for a chat.
I know.
Like, you don't understand. I don't do that.
Ever.
I don't subscribe to that. Send me a voice note. Send me a text.
Always.
Failing that, piss off.
There's sometimes I mess going to FaceTime Ness and she's like, stop taking the piss. I'm like, okay. And then I go to ring her and she's like, hello.
I'm like, hey, are you okay?
What's going on?
I'm like, if you are,
because I love a phone call.
No, and you love a FaceTime as well. I know we've been over this a million times, but like when we were in Amsterdam, you FaceTime Jamie on the road and you were like, and how did Lulu sleep? And I was like, why do I have to be a part of this? And then I was like, how did she sleep? Like,
there used to be a time where I'd FaceTime Frank and we'd be getting ready and we'd be seeing each other in an hour or two. Oh. And we'd be like just bopping about and like, I love talking to someone when I'm getting ready. So sometimes I like ring my sister and she's like, she'd be sitting on the toilet for God knows what. And I'm like bopping around being like, hey, yeah.
I just can't give you what you need. But anyway, I rang you yesterday. That's how much I missed you. So we're moving in the right direction.
We are. How's your week been?
Yeah, good. Like, oh, I just feel now this year I'm just going to be like eye rolling about my wedding until the end. He's just going to have to strap in with me. Like me and Dave were like, no, this is, it's like we peeked behind the curtain. We were like, nobody enjoys this. Everybody's lying. Like, this is awful.
Yeah.
Like the money. Oh my God.
Yeah. See, the financials of a wedding is just everything adds up. And all of a sudden it's a couple of hundred here, €1,000 here. You're like, what?
I know. I think we got hit with loads of like invoices this week. And I was like to David earlier, I was like, I think I'm going to have a breakdown.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, right. Okay.
Oh, God.
And I asked him to do something like, because I was like, just naturally, do you know the way like brides kind of just tend to do more by nature? Like,
yeah, of
they
course.
Want to anyway. Yeah, yeah. So I was like organizing loads of stuff. And then I was like, oh, God, how am I going to do that? We need to like book block hotel rooms for overflow accommodation or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, I have a fiance. So I'm going to outsource that to David.
Yeah, of course.
I told him about it and he was like, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that. He's like, I don't feel comfortable. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, I have the same information as you.
Yeah.
Like, so just figure
it's
it out.
It's you just ringing or
like,
sending
an email.
I'm sorry
to tell you that you don't feel comfortable, but you need to do it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you kind of have to plumasse them a bit, don't you? Because they're just like kids.
I have to say now, Jamie was very good with the wedding stuff. Now, I did a lot of it, but like, when I look back, the only thing he didn't get involved in, like he didn't do anything in terms of like
the aesthetic.
Yeah, the creative or things I was doing. Like I was doing everything, but he would like do the maths on things and add things up and like send an email or two. But he was very supportive, but I just knew he couldn't do the job that I was going
to
do.
So well,
I
if he tried to get involved, you'd boot him out.
I'd boot him out.
Yeah, he knew his place.
Yeah. But don't worry, it does get exciting.
Yeah.
There is some scary moments where you're like, Jesus Christ, the amount of money. But honestly,
best day of your life.
Best day. Best weekend of my life.
Like earlier on, I was like, are these people having a laugh that they get the wedding blues when this is over? I was like, are you fucking joking me?
I know. It's a real thing. Now, I obviously didn't get them. I didn't have an opportunity to get them. But I know so many people, like a girl I knew, I met her over Christmas. She was like, she got married, I think, in December. She was like, I'm devastated. I'm so depressed. I'm like, actually, but I don't know how it would be for me, but like it's meant to be a true thing it's just like a like a climax, and
your whole life is like on hold for this one thing.
Yeah, and it's like it's two years in the making.
I know.
Do you know? And then all of a sudden, like day two, it's over. Even though you have a ball with all your mates, but like it's over.
Yeah,
it's done.
But I'm not loving it. Not loving the bridal wedding thing. Like, we're in a good place now. Like, I think we've most stuff knocked off, and we went and tried the bridesmaid dress on. That was so lol.
Sorry, we had the best time ever.
Yeah, I had no
expectations. Said yes to the dress.
Yeah, we kind of
dresses.
We did, didn't we? We did, yeah.
Well, we loved the style. Me and Sinead loved ours. Maria and Aideen loved theirs.
Yeah. Josh was raging they wouldn't let him try on a dress.
I know, would they not?
Well, it just
she wasn't given the vibe.
It wasn't the vibe.
No.
No. I don't think she would have got her humour.
Josh was like front and centre on like the box, the dress box.
Yeah.
And he was like, when am I trying something on?
I was like, someone put him out of his misery and let him.
But otherwise.
Yeah, that look, this is going to be my rinse and repeat moan. I'm just forewarning you all.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll have a good time.
I meant to ask you, did you watch Celebrity Bear Grylls on Netflix?
I started.
Oh my God.
That's so my kind of
we
show.
Swallowed it up.
Really?
It was fabulous.
But like, I watched the first episode and loads of people were out from the get. Like, when he catches them, does that mean they're kicked out?
So basically someone needs to go home, but the people who are captured may not have to go home. It's who he thinks has potential. Now, I was saying this to Jamie. I would do Hell Week possibly 3 times over. To be chased is like one of my worst fears.
Yeah, no, Niamh, you're not built for that.
I would like freeze and go into panic. I would be like, no, dear God, I'd collapse in the jungle.
No.
Like the thought of someone chasing me.
Being hunted. Yeah, no.
Now, I love the idea of in Costa Rica and like they have lovely, you know, they're making lovely dinner and they're not like, you know, they're not being starved as I was in cold water shit. Now, the challenges are kind of hard, but like, look, I mean, if you got into it, you'd get into it and they seemed okay. It's all about survival. Like they were building tents and stuff and all that kind of thing. But the bear pit, it's called, you're in for a treat.
Oh my God.
And they're basically being chased and you have to try to get out within an hour. And then there's locks
for like different escapes
and you have to go find the lock to use the lock to get out of one of the, it's mad.
I like love shows like that. I think I was telling you I was watching that Outlast show and it was in Alaska and like it's the same shit. I think it's because it's such a parallel life to anything I would ever do in my entire life.
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
It pulls me in.
Yeah.
But like, you know when you did Hell Week and you'd jump out of the helicopter?
That was the easiest thing I ever did in that whole show because I just had to jump and that was it. I just had to close my eyes, jump and I was done, where the rest of the stuff was like endurance where you're like fucking wrecked.
And the lack of sleep.
Being in cold water. Although I did do the Wim Hof breathing. I did like breathe with Niall. Did a session, 2 sessions with him before I went. And when I tell you that saved me.
Really?
Yeah, when you have your breath under control, the powerful breath, girls. Yeah. When you get
stay
the breath
loud,
under.
Stay proud.
The woo woo, we're back.
I'd be like doing it with a vape. I'm breathing love and compassion.
But it's so funny. I was looking at the show because it did my Hell Week show. There was times that we were on a boat. So see all the like the helicopter shots and the drones and there's someone coming in on a helicopter really close to the boat and they're, you know, going across the sea. I was like, I wonder how many times they shot that because when we were in Hell Week, we'd be rattling on a boat. They're trying to get the shot. They're like, sorry guys, we need to go again and get the shot. And we're all like rattling. But nothing's worse than farting on national television.
Oh my being God, Niamh! We need to run that clip back. You're like, sorry.
No, I haven't.
Number 11.
I got so feared up. He was like walking by me and I was like,
yours are
and Andrew dangerous. Trimble. He was actually only on the TV the other day after the match and he called me out on national television being like, and then Niamh decided to fart in front of me. It was a big lovely Nordy accent.
We need to rewatch
and that. Everyone was like, are you joking?
But didn't you have to do something with fire as well?
Oh yeah, that me and Rory stories. If you ever watch that episode back, the smallest person and the tallest person going in to save lives, fake lives.
Perfect.
In a fire. A disaster.
Yeah.
We got out and they were like, well, you're both fucking dead.
And the rest.
I was like, never doing that again.
I thought you would have, like, because you're so competitive, but, like, the odds were against you.
Oh, the odds were against us. Like, poor Rory Stories, he was so hot. He's so big that he was, like, it was really hard. Like, it was like being in a fire. We had, obviously, fire suits on. And, like, we had to carry dummies, like, upstairs and stuff. And the dummies were so heavy.
No.
And at one point, one nearly hit me in the face, nearly knocked me out.
No, I just don't even think... I wouldn't last the intro task.
Oh, you jump out of the helicopter.
I wouldn't.
Well, Paul Omega, the Irish guy, he was out on the first challenge. Yeah. He's so terrified of heights.
I'm really afraid of heights.
Oh, yeah.
Like... Me and Dave went for a walk on Howth Pier before, you know, we were up on the higher pier.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to get down.
Yeah, yeah. I hate that moment. It's such a scary moment.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Like your mouth goes dry.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, I've torpedoed all about my week. How's yours?
My week's been good.
Yeah.
I've gotten back into like the flow of the gym. I took the 2 week break off running because I felt like, I don't know what it is with my left foot. It's like obviously an Irish dancing thing. I think just my arch is really hurt. So I'm going to physio now to see. So they're like, just take a 2 week break. So I'm back running this week for my fucking half marathon.
Good woman.
Getting there.
Would you ever go raw dog, no earphones?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
Like, you joke me. The way my mind works, I'd end up jumping in a river somewhere. I need something to keep me preoccupied. I'm off here. I'd be like, I've done it a couple of times, and anyone I'd say who runs will get this. The mindset that you can get into running sometimes is awful. Like, you tell yourself you're shit.
Yeah.
You're like, why bother running? Your legs start to give in. And yeah, you need something in your ears to be like Mel Robinson being like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
You high five yourself in the mirror. Have you seen that lately?
No, neither. Our algorithms so are different.
Yeah, fair, actually. It was like this thing on TikTok. It's like a morning routine and like you get up and like drink a glass of water. Now, I don't really agree with this, but like whatever floats your boat and whatever gets you going in the morning at 5 a.m. And you have to go in and look in the mirror and then high five yourself in the mirror.
Definitely American.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She has a few good things, but that one I definitely didn't agree with.
I saw this thing on TikTok and it was like, you know, like you food prep, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She food prepped boiled eggs. Yeah. I was like, surely not everything needs to be prepped. Like a boiled egg could take 8 minutes. Do you think that's mental?
I know, I get your point, but if she was out for the day and she wanted to have her protein, her boiled eggs for her protein.
I thought that was so bananas. She meal prepped 4 boiled eggs.
We can tell the difference here that Nessa is a remote worker. She does not go into the office.
Ah, but she stays at home. Have 8 minutes to boil a Jesus egg. You need to reassess
If she's going off in the morning time, she's like, I'm going to have my 2 boiled egg for lunch with my fish and my rice cake. She's probably bringing them up, packing them with her. I've prepped boiled eggs before.
So I'm the weirdo in this.
No, it's just two different lifestyles, I would say. She obviously is working outdoorsy.
No, I'm sorry. And the TikTok was, it was like for her to have in salads or something. So she's like, and these keep for 4 days in the fridge. And when you slice them open, they're still gooey and everything. And I just was like, this is bad.
Is this the nutritionist?
I don't know who it is. I saved it out of discuss with you. So I'll go and I'll check. But it's like, it reminds me of like the air fryer craze. It's like not everything has to be put in an air fryer. Like not everything has to be
prepped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and not everything has to be like fused together. Like I saw somebody making this really weird thing. It was like a chip lasagna or something. I was like, do you know what? It's okay to actually just don't do that.
I know. There's some crazy things online. Yeah. But you know what I'd love to bring back just on the prep? Got me thinking of the Tupperware. I'd love to host a Tupperware party. You know the way you used to do it when your mas used to do it when we were younger?
No, my mom didn't do that.
Did a Tupperware party?
No.
And
I've heard of it in like...
An Avalon.
Avon.
Avon.
Your ma sells the Avon.
Avon. Or like an Anne Summer party or something.
Mad. Imagine like...
Would love nothing more for having all my friends around the gaff and to sell them some...
Lunchboxes.
Maybe not lunchboxes, but something gas.
Yeah.
Like just have a bit of a lol with it. Because I know like nobody was buying Tupperware back then. They were just all drinking the wine.
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, I know where you're going with it. I'd be interested to see what you pull out.
Or like, what would I sell? I'm trying to think what I'd sell.
The mind boggles.
Or like some sex toy parties.
Niamh, you're all married. You'd be traumatised.
I know, I would be a little bit.
All of them coming into your house.
Yeah. No, but I think it'd be funny. Like, you know, like, come on, we're all wives now.
I can't marry.
Empty.
I can't remember what it was before. I'm going to paraphrase. I think it could have been a butt plug. And you were like, what's a butt plug? And we were like,
oh. I didn't know what a butt plug was.
Yeah, okay, well, it was a butt plug then. We were like,
I still don't know what it is.
Who's going to tell her? We were like, nothing, sweetheart. Yeah.
What do you mean?
What's a butt plug? So,
oh.
Do you know what else is disturbing me as well?
What?
If I see that fucking Dubai chocolate bar on my timeline one more time, cracking open, pulling.
Are you like 4 months behind?
No, I'm not. TikTok needs to back it up now. Leave it alone. It's over. We've seen it. Grand. I saw it the other day. The Irish Times did an article being like viral thing. I know, yeah. But you know, I'm in my reader era now. Asking for receipts and reading. I did subscribe to the Irish Independent, by the way.
Oh, do you know what Jamie's done now?
Go on.
He's, as yourself, subscribed, and he's also getting it delivered every Sunday.
That's so Jamie.
Isn't it so Jamie? Cozy I've actually never, but like, it's so Jamie.
It's the most, like, I see him in like his slippers.
And his dressing gown that you've all bought. Yeah. He loves that, by the way.
The
when Jamie was in hospital after the wedding, we both got care packages. I felt so special because I also got a dressing gown.
Of course.
And Jamie like lives in it. He's like, oh fuck, I have to wash my dressing gown, but I really want to wear it tonight. And like, it stinks of arse. Take it off and put it in the wash machine.
Arse? Oh my God, you're doing him dirty there.
It does. Like, men just like, like, I'd wash it every week, once a week if I could, because I wear it so much. He like, oh.
He, men are, honestly, I told.
And he sleeps in it and everything sometimes.
Jesus.
Crazy,
Christ.
Man. What if I'm married?
I've been kind of raw dogging life again.
Okay, go on. Talk
so,
to me about it.
Remember the way I was like I don't know how to say.
Vitaminless. Not taking vitamins.
Less vitamins in my body.
Yeah.
Vitaminless. I can't say it. Oh my God. Say it.
Vitaminless.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm saying this.
Vitaminless, yeah, right. So I was like, I'd love if there was like somewhere I could do like an NCT for like my body or something. Just,
you can.
I know. I saw Kara Ryan had it on her story.
Did she?
Yeah, she got the full shebang.
Great.
So I think I'm going to do that.
You should. That's a real you thing.
I know.
Such a you thing.
What's going on in here? I know. I rang the doctor the other day and I was like, hey, I want to get my bloods done. And she's like, okay, for what? And I was like, I don't know. Just, and she's like, well, has anyone told you to get them done? I was like, no. And she's like, yeah, you kind of need to like come in and talk to us first. Which I thought was a bit silly.
Yeah, I think that's a bit silly. You should just say you have a headache or something and just get them done.
But yeah, I just feel like
you don't know what you should be taking.
Yeah. Like, I know I need to buy my Simprove again. I'm going to buy it. And
would you take a Revive Active? They're very good. Multivitamin one. You should take the green ones, not the Zest. Because the green ones, so there's Revive Zest and then there's Revive that are like the more expensive one. And there's a thing in them called COQ10. And it's actually our energy enzyme that we actually start to decline from age 35 and up. So we're not really sold the Zest ones. But I buy the green ones and they're fantastic for energy. And they have all your vitamins in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
And you should get on ashwagandha.
I have that at home.
You don't take it though?
No, I never. I buy vitamins and I don't take them.
But why are you going to get an NCT for if you don't even take the vitamins you have at home?
I know, yeah. I know. It's just my personality shining.
It is. It truly is.
Has anything been rotten you?
Not really, actually. I was excited that today is Galentine's and I really wanted to bring you in a rose.
I wanted to bring you in a rose. And but I was late.
Same.
Okay, great.
We got new photos done today, gals. So we were busy getting glam.
Yeah.
And
me was hitting multitude of poses. We were like cheek to cheek and I could just hear Niamh's face like silently changing, like
it's back in the day when I was on Take Me Out and like doing all the little press, what are they called, press,
you're on the press junket,
press shots, like doing the lotto, holding the lotto sign and all.
What
I used to do, holding the lotto sign.
Why?
Well, I just, it was because you're on back in the day.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. But what has that got to do with Take Me Out?
Well, just that was the age I was when I used to be taking those shots. And I just remember from then, you always had to change up your smile pose. So you'd be like,
oh, okay, you're hitting your marks.
I was hitting the marks that I was back then. So it stuck with me, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah. You're a complete professional. But like, it was like this slight, it was like kind of like your cheeks and lips slapping off each other in my ear. And the silence was deafening, but it was all I could hear. It's like sometimes when you're relaxed when we're on the podcast and I can just hear like down the microphone
right now.
So not so much anymore, but at the start, remember when I had the headphones in, I was like, here, your breath really fucking work
and
that.
It stinks.
Ew.
Oh god, sorry guys.
No, it's alright.
Anyway, Happy Galentine.
Yeah, my God, you bring me.
For God's sake. I was going to intro something nice there about my emotional moment on the podcast last week. Just really got me thinking Galentine's and love.
Every day is Galentine's Day for us, babe.
Yeah, it is.
It fucking is.
Yeah.
Sorry, actually, should we read out that lovely email? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just keeping privacy, but she was like, Niamh, I had to send you an email to tell you how moved I was listening to that recent podcast. I got married in July and I remember the morning of the wedding. I was so emotional. I love my family dearly, but yes, there is a lot of stressful moments during the morning, and genuinely, even though I know I'm not the only one, I felt so alone. My friends had got married and spoke about how magical their morning was, and I felt like I had done it wrong. Oh, that's sad. You didn't even go into the details, but it was hearing you so emotional and talking about your friends. I did a first look with my mom and walked down the aisle with my mom, and it ruffled a few feathers, but that moment was worth everything for me, even for the drama it caused.
Aww.
It was really nice to not feel alone and finding the morning upsetting at times.
Aww.
And it didn't take away from how perfect other times were that morning as well. And she goes, P.S. Nessa, not that you'll need the advice, but one thing I do advise is it's your morning. I did a few things for my family that they were grateful for, like having my mother-in-law's makeup done with me in the room. But while it was lovely for her, if I could do it again, I would be a bit more selfish. It is your morning.
Yeah. If you're getting married, do you create your peace the morning of your wedding? You forget. Your morning is so precious, and you're really, I didn't realise how overwhelmed I was going to feel, and then I kind of relaxed into it. So creating that peaceful space on the morning of your wedding, and if that means, you know, just having you.
Putting a boundary up.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Somebody said something really lovely to me, and they were like, it was actually Niamh Palmer. She was like, the bride and the groom, or you and David, are the guests of honour at your wedding.
Yeah.
It's not the other way around. Because you tend to try and cater to everybody else, don't you? But like,
yeah.
But I just don't think that's an Irish mindset.
No.
Isn't it?
She's right to say that, because you are. And you will feel the love, and you will feel like, oh my God, premium guest of honours on your wedding day. You really will.
Yeah.
But just on those little moments, create peace where you can. And, you know, it's important because it's your day.
Yeah.
And David's day. Sorry.
No.
It's your day.
Let me ask you a deep question here.
Go on.
So why are your friends so important to you?
Oh my God, how long do we have?
How long do we have now?
I feel like I just see my friends like family. Like, I really do. Like, they are my support network. They are my shoulder to cry on. They're a listening ear.
Yeah.
But not everyone, I suppose, has friendships like that. I suppose we're so lucky, and I'm so lucky I just feel like they're so important. I just feel like they're a consistent, beautiful
there
energy.
Things you need to like pour into, though, I think, like friendships, like, you know, like
nurse them.
Yeah, like I remember my mom telling me, she was like when I got married, she was like, I just, in a selfish, I didn't care about anything else but like my kids and my husband. And she was like, don't be like that. She was like, you know, make sure you hang on to your friends always, because and I was like, I couldn't even imagine not. I was like, your friend's obviously boring, Mom.
Yeah. But I think it was a generational thing.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like people are, not that they're not connected then, but they're even more connected now in so many different ways. Even just like from technology and everything. But like, I couldn't imagine, you wouldn't be the person you are without your friends.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, they kind of shape you in a way.
100%.
And guide you. Like, if you've got healthy relationships with your friendships, they'll guide you and they'll advise you, and you know, generally they have your best interest at heart. And I know that's the friendships that I have, which is so good. But
I feel like the better friendships you have, the easier it is to spot bad energy.
Totally.
Like, I've had that a couple of times, not often, but
because
like I'd have such solid tens, to be honest, across the board. Tens for friendships. Then somebody comes in and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. Now, I've had to weed out a few.
Yeah.
But that's only actually through therapy, like through counselling. I've learned about myself and like the relationships I want and the relationships that I need and want to like water and nourish. And, you know, where there's other relationships that I've been like, I'm actually not arse. Like, I don't think, you know, you really serve me much anymore.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, we'll still chat, but like, I don't want to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh.
You just have to pull away naturally, and I suppose you grow out of relationships and friendships too.
Yeah, like, I'm 34 now. Like, I'm just at a place now where I'm just like, oh, do you know what? Like, if you're not good energy, and like, if I see something bad, like if bad behavior, whatever, I'm just like,
oh, this is a true Scorpio, true and true.
Yeah, no, whoa. I just, no. it's hard for me to come back once I'm rotted.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. To like sit her down.
Both of us, if we, you know, depart.
Yeah.
Depart ways.
And it is actually really uncommon. Now, I'm so lucky that I have my friends since primary school, but that is so uncommon now. And I feel like sometimes there is relationships that you're kind of holding on to for the sake of it.
100%.
You've totally grown out of them.
Like, if you like, only have the same friends and you haven't picked up a few new ones, I'm sorry, that's a red flag.
Yeah. And I feel like some people can get real like, oh God, you're trying to make them like be friends with someone that you're like, we've just no interest anymore. We're like 15 years since when we were actual best friends, but we're just keeping this road going because we think it's just like the right thing to do. We're really just like, maybe we should just need to
like just like let it, you both feel the same.
Yeah, just let it filter out and be like, bye.
Yeah, I'm on a dip now. I'm like a fool for platonic love.
Oh,
like I am a fucking fool for it.
Yeah, me too.
It literally puts wind in my sails. Like the levels of like connection you'll get with your friends within 1 hour of a group chat is insane.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like you'll be ripping the piss out of each other.
Giddy.
Like laughing, being like, you are the most capable girl of all time.
Yeah.
To be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like in an in, like it's just, I'm addicted to it. Like I just, I'm so drawn to, I know it sounds really cheesy, but like personal connections. Like I love that. Like,
me
you
too.
Know, I love a DMC.
Oh, girl.
I just love
you're on a night out and you see Nessa sitting you down with pleasure. You sit down and listen because you're
you've
in honorary company.
You've been summoned.
Yeah.
But like, I just, you know, like when you find people that you connect with or whatever, like it's just the most mundane things are gas.
I know.
You know what I mean? And like, even just it, like I was texting my friend earlier who I've been friends with for years and we were like talking about something gas and you're like, oh my God, that happened so long ago and like it still makes us laugh today. Do you know what I mean? And like when shit goes wrong and everything, like they're just that extra layer of padding.
Yeah.
You know, people that would understand you the most, more than your family, more, you know what I mean?
You know, I didn't have actually much focus on platonic word, like the word platonic never really was on my radar. Like obviously I love my friends so much, but it was when your one Amy Lou Wood, she's the sex education actress, she's fab, she was on BBC and her interview about platonic love like moved me.
Yeah,
like she was just like, it's the most expansive thing. Like she's like, when I'm with my friends, like I feel alive, I feel happy, I feel comfortable, I can feel I can do whatever I want to do. And it was when I listened to that, I think I shared it on my close ages ago. I was like, that has just hit home with me on so many levels. Because I think I was at a time where I like bought the house and I was like, okay, like I'm kind of comfortable. And then I was kind of comfortable in my life, all the chaos. Well, just so big, the chaos kind of had calmed down. And then that video played and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like I have like a good handful of friends that I feel this platonic love for.
Yeah.
Some are like, most of them are female and then some of them are male. Like I have like my really good friend Jack Brennan who I adore, like platonically love.
Yeah.
And there's actually a question that I wanted to ask, like what's the boundary between romantic and platonic? But like I just remember listening to that and I was like, oh my God, she has said everything that I've wanted to say and how I feel about my friendship.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like when I'm with them, I'm just so happy, I'm so at peace. I'm just like, so that's why on the morning of my wedding, that was actually one of my big deciders, was that I have to have my friends the morning of my wedding because I know when I'm with them, I'm just
safe. No, 100%. Yeah.
So what do you think? Because I know some people are like, you know, I think as well, like I went to an all-girls school and God forbid if I was friends, like best friends with a boy. Now, I went to a mixed school primary and then I went to an all-girls secondary. And I remember there was a time that I just would have had friends from like lads, friends from Ga or whatever. But I remember some of the girls in my school be like, you can't be friends with fucking boys. Oh, you obviously like him. Yeah, you want to kiss him. You fancy him. Or like one of my friends, Sean, we grew up together. We were childhood friends and people were like, yous are not really friends. And it used to be like a thing. So then growing up, there was a period in my life where I felt like I couldn't have guy friends.
Yeah.
And then I got into like my mid-20s, but I realised, no, I actually have such good relationships with men platonically. Not love now, but just like natural nice connections that don't mean anything. I'm not like
Niall's idea.
Oh my God, yeah, exactly. Sorry, Niall, everyone needs to give the context on Niall, please. Jack, I met my friend, actually Jack, who I'm talking about now, for breakfast this morning. He turned around and he was like, I can't wait to start calling you Niall. I was like, why? He was like, Nessa, Niall mode.
Niall mode.
Explain.
So My phone, I think, was doing the greater good, but it kept auto-correcting Niamh to Niall, right? And then we just started going with it. And then whenever Niamh would be talking about sports, Niamh would be like, I'm going into Niall mode. And now she's just Niall.
Because I text Ness and somebody being like, you're watching the match, because Dave is obviously a diehard Man United fan. And I just will stick on the soccer if it's like good games, like Man United, Liverpool, or any good games that are on. And she'd be like, Niamh. And then it would correct to Niall. I'd be like, this is perfect. She's like, Niall, stop texting me about sports.
You were like pure Niall mode last night. Yeah. So yeah, that's your Niall sides coming out with all the laughs.
So yeah.
What were you going to ask?
Oh yeah, I was asking you, what do you think the difference is between like, oh, like the boundary with like the boundary with platonic and romantic love?
If you fancy them or not.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're
flirting
with
jump
them,
their boundary
and if you're kind of like, oh, would I have sex
if they're hot or ugly? That's the boundary. No, I mean,
but you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I'd have no business now having a fella mate.
No.
I hate sports, Niamh. Like, there'd be no common ground.
Yeah.
No, I have, like, David's friends have become my friends.
Yeah, true.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
We've found a common ground.
Yeah. But I actually remember when I first got with Jamie, he has a few, like, close girlfriends, and I'd be, like, a bit, like, he went to his mixed secondary school.
Yeah.
And his mom, and his, you know the way his... the brother, his two brothers are really like conversational. They literally are like my dad. Sorry, Meet the Fuckers came from my dad at his wedding speech in the ceremony, named Jamie's family's Meet the Fuckers. Everyone erupted in this. Like, it couldn't be any more perfect.
Yeah, they are.
They are Meet the Fuckers. So Meet the Fuckers. But it was just the mindset that I was in and the relationship that I was in previous that I was like, oh, like, I'm not meant to have, like, guy friends. But I did have guy friends. I used to just kind of keep them at a distance. Where actually I was like, no, I really enjoy their company.
Yeah.
I don't want to ride them.
No.
I don't want to kiss them. No. I actually love chatting to them. And we'd be talking about fucking sport and,
yeah,
like, stuff and things like that.
No, like, well, me and David were friends before we...
Yeah, was there.
For, like, 6 months before...
I felt Sonic more romantic in my eyes.
Something happened. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? You're actually...
You're actually all right.
Pretty all right.
Pretty sexy.
Yeah. So, actually, I remember he used to always try talking about Home and Away on the shop floor.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh my
God. Because he's from Australia.
Yeah. And we both liked Home and Away.
Neighbours.
He'd always call me Martha because I think there was a Martha in it in Home and Away. He'd be always like, Martha, did you see that episode? And I'd be like, what? But then I'd be like, oh my God, go away. I don't talk to him today. But I realised it was because I fancied him.
Oh.
And the big light would always be on in Ireland, and I was like, this is an awful, horrible, exposed environment for me to be in.
Yeah, fair.
So looking back now, the platonic things were fading.
Well, you definitely mixed platonic with romantic.
Yeah,
I think
it worked out so far. But do you think, like, even though we're in this age now of like platonic love, well, we are, I don't know if everyone else is, but do you think there's still like the emphasis on people trying to find like romantic love or like trying to find a fella?
Yeah, like I remember years ago before I got with my awful ex, all I wanted was a fella. And I think there was times that I was just like,
he'll do.
Like I didn't want to go out with the girls, or I didn't want to focus my relationships or focus on my friendships because I was too busy being like, oh, I have to go on a date with him now again and again, and I want to spend all my time with him. Do you know?
Mm. I felt like I was the opposite of that, right? Because I was like, pretty much always single and like was all about my friends. And then I'd seen a couple of friends get like fucked over by guys, or like certain people might get in relationships and drop the friends, and that I always hated that so much. Like I really like I just really didn't like that, and I was like, I would never do that. So to the point when me and David first got together, I felt like I would prioritize my friends over him.
Yeah.
Like the people I'd never want to let down would be my friends.
Friends, yeah.
So like I'd be like, oh well, I'm doing this with my friends. Do you know what I mean? But then it was just kind of immature of me, do you know? It was like I felt nearly like I was on a mission to be like, I'm not gonna lose my friend. And he's like, I'm not trying to make it.
Whatever,
babe. See if you wanna go cinema, like you know. So I feel like it can go one way or the other. But I do, like, do you know, even you hear people who, heaven forbid, are single. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people, they go on like that, like it's like there's something wrong with them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like there's so many people in unhappy relationships.
Oh,
and
more
so many people that are much happier single than a lot of people who are in relationships are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And probably have a much more enriching love from the platonic friendships they have. Do you know what I mean? But I still think, like, you see, even with people trying to get mortgages in society, like, it's just geared for couples.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like that everybody's wired for that.
Yeah.
And I hopefully, like, it is starting to change a bit now. I hope. I don't know. But, mm-hmm. but yeah, I do think everything's kind of backwards with that sort of shit.
Yeah, it is.
That's
and
my TED Talk.
Huh?
That's my TED Talk. I rant in there for a minute. My mouth.
No, I agreed. I think when I got out of the relationship that I was in and then got with Jamie, I realised how much my friends meant to me. So I think I both have you as out of balance. Like, I wouldn't say, obviously, I prioritise my husband where I can and need, but like, God, my friends are in the back where I'm like, hello.
Yeah, but you have the type of dynamic that at work that you don't have to, like.
I know, we're so independent. Like, yeah, we're at a festival.
I literally was about to say festival. Yeah. Like, you're in the mix, smooching your friends the whole weekend.
Then wearing the face off the gate.
Yeah.
And James and us. Like, okay, I'm over here, like 5 feet away.
But he doesn't give a shit either.
Oh, he doesn't give. And that's what I love about him.
Yeah.
That's what I love about him so much. He lets me be me.
Yeah.
He lets me run off into the sunset. And he's like, gives me text, being like, hey, would you mind seeing me? I haven't seen it in like 11 hours. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Or you'll be like, Jamie, hey, I'm doing this. He's like, yeah, grand. Yeah.
Grand, go off. You're grand.
Leave me alone.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Floating off, fixing me wig on. Like, wig Sunday.
Oh, wig Sunday.
Oh, we love wig Sunday.
I think I am done now with a festival.
Not yet. This year I'm done.
Like a day fest, stunning.
Yeah, not
a quick
night.
Dash to EP, stunning. But even with glamping, I couldn't.
No, but you've only ever done it once or twice.
Which?
Glamping.
I've glamped twice.
Oh, glamped twice.
Yeah. And I've done like a camping festival probably like 4 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I know. I
Now, if I got the 4-poster bed that you got with electricity.
Funny, you never know what could be in stock. Well, no, wait. We'll see. You're getting married.
No. Don't. Okay, don't cut me out of the pot like that so quick, Niamh.
Because I think Jamie's doing my festivals this year.
Yeah.
Maybe. He is for sure.
Yeah.
Me, no.
Let me think about that.
I was like, I've one more summer, don't I? He's like, yeah, you've one more summer.
I would like to do Beyond the Pale.
Oh, yeah, for a day.
Yeah.
Very good.
So obviously today is Galentine's. Yeah. Obviously, I didn't know that. Honest, but I did want to buy you a rose.
She's lying. She wasn't even bringing a rose. Tail spinning. See, I knew because I had a class this morning and it was 2 classes and they were Galentine themed.
Well, actually, nothing brings me more joy than seeing all the cutesy little fellas with their bouquet of roses.
Oh.
I saw a few of them going through town earlier and that's when I was like, oh, I'd like to buy Niamh a rose. Maybe one day. But like, are you into Valentine's Day?
You know what? I'm into Valentine's Day because my dad has set the tone with us from such a young age. Like, tomorrow I will get a Valentine's card. Everywhere I've moved to, from the age of 4, I've received a Valentine's card from my secret admirer. Aww. Like, it's my dad. Like, it's his writing. He sends it every year. And whether I've been in Australia, whether I've been in Santry, Donnybrook, Griffith Avenue.
From Sydney to Santry, baby.
Drumcondra. Now in East Wall, I'll guess.
It's the GDPR major breach.
Sorry. Whoops, it's not the place I live in. And my dad's always just so, I actually, the one thing I look forward to on Valentine's Day, because I know I'm going to get a cute card from my dad, and the poem always changes. I've actually kept a lot of them.
That's really sweet.
But the one time I was heartbroken over, there was 1 year I got a Christmas card from Boyzone.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't Boyzone.
Yeah, no.
Because it was that Valentine's in March where I said to my mum and dad, I was like, how come I didn't get a Valentine's card from Boyzone when they sent me a Christmas card? And I think it was my mum that let me slip. And my dad was like, Niamh, sorry to tell you.
I can't keep this up.
I can't keep this up anymore. He was like writing all the different signatures, fair play to him. He had like Stephen Gately, RIP. And I actually thought about it because we were talking about the Boyzone doc.
Yeah.
Yeah, the things my dad used to do keep me happy. I actually went into school and was like, I got a Christmas card from Boyzone. And everyone was like, no, you didn't.
Sure,
I was like,
sweetie.
Yeah, I did. Fine by all of them.
Oh my God, wow. Your poor dad working overtime.
Still working overtime. God love him. He's either going to have to deliver it tonight or it's in the post.
That's so cute.
I know.
I'm not really like into Valentine's at all.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of just have always thought it was a gimmick. I love a card.
Yeah, same. I love a little gesture.
Yeah. And like David was like, got me like roses a couple of times. Then after all, I was like, they're so expensive. Like, it's fine.
I know.
Like, it's actually so grand. And I feel like the longer you're together, it kind of whittles out, doesn't it?
Now, I have to say, Jamie was really cute. I came home from work today and guess what he had? Like, he had like a little card and he got me the Hogwarts Legacy on the PlayStation 5. I'm not joking.
Oh, Niall!
Not like... Niall, not again!
Yes, Niall!
I was like, that is like the most loveliest thing. And he was like, yeah. He was like, I want to play it too. And I thought it'd be something we can play together. Because sometimes he'll get on the PlayStation and I'm like, I have nothing
There's
to play here.
Gone.
And he was like, I'll play this with you.
Now, I'm not really being sweet. Funny. David had it and it slaps.
I'm so excited.
It's so good.
Lingardia Leviosa.
That's it. So that's your Valentine's plan.
That's my Valentine's plan sorted, guys. Hogwarts Legacy. Friday night in.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I miss, though?
What?
The Marks and Spencer's deal with a bottle of wine, starter, dessert, main course. They don't do it anymore.
Boom.
Like, wine as a good, as an affordable package. That was one thing I used to get on Valentine's as well. Now, the ex never got it. I used to pay for it. I used to, because I worked at Brown Thomas, used to come in with clicky clunky heels into Marks and Sparks. Get me bits. Right. Getting locked on the wine. They don't do that anymore.
They're missing a trick. They need to bring it back.
And you know, I was looking at Lidl had a deal and it didn't even include a bottle of wine. It was like starter, main, dessert and something and €15 with no bottle of wine. That's what you used to get in Marks and Spencer's with a bottle of wine. Do you remember that deal?
I do. Oh, I remember it well.
Loved it.
I thought you'd be like a Valentine's girl, though.
Not really, like. Well, like, I like a gesture.
Yeah.
But like I like a little card or even like a little note or something.
Now, if I didn't get a card, there'd be war.
See, I get a card off my dad every year. So yeah, but if I like, always rely on him.
Me and David weren't talking to each other last Valentine's. We had a fight.
Do you not get anything?
No, we both gave each other silent cards. So it was like
shoved underneath the door.
We're fighting, but we both can't. We can't not do that. So I feel it would be a disservice to the Irish people and Irish culture if we didn't dedicate our chronically offline segment.
Yeah, you're the queen for
this. To eating a bag of dicks, Mumba. Okay. So for anybody who doesn't know, Samantha Mumba, the most iconic bitch, like love. Yeah. Like give her flowers. She was an icon, has had bangers throughout.
Bangers?
Yeah. Did Euro, what is it called? Euro song?
Don't get me started on Eurovision. I just found out that like someone that's not from Ireland can go as Ireland in the Eurovision.
Yeah, that's mad. That's ridiculous.
Actually,
she flew in, flew out.
She should be living here at least 4 years.
Paying some taxes at least.
Exactly.
Contributing to, you know, ridiculous the infrastructure that we now have. But anyway, basically, Eurosong, she was one of the contestants, performed, and then obviously didn't get picked. Now, I am paraphrasing here, but she basically put a status up to be like, the judges aren't qualified. Everyone except Bambi Thug was rude, blah, blah, blah. And they can eat a bag of dicks, right?
What the hell?
Was it eat a bag of dicks to everyone or was it just specifically Donal Skean? He really latched onto it anyway. He's really made it his own.
I couldn't get over his like stance on it being like, I was part of a boy band.
God,
and stuff.
I learned loads. Because like, at like, the start, what? I was like,
you're a chef, stay in your box.
Yeah, but like, I mean, he read us all to filth. Yeah. He's very qualified. He's like, I'll have you know I was in a boy band. And I was like, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, actually kind of makes sense because he's friends. He actually does be in a lot of some of my friends who are dancers. And part of their, he does be in dinners in their houses. So it actually all clicked at me that he probably is from the boy band
that
era.
Industry. But yeah, she wasn't happy. And she said apparently they were rude to her and everything. But then I haven't watched it back because I truly can't be arsed.
But can I ask, did Mumba put out a statement and Donal sniped in?
Yeah.
Was Donal a judge?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mad, actually.
Yeah.
But maybe she just didn't know the history.
Well, she does now. I think it'd be safe to say nobody knew that history. Nobody. What a dark horse.
Oh, he's a man of many talents.
And but he's really, so she used obviously the aubergine emoji, which is code for penises in emoji language.
Yeah.
So he's really like lashed onto this. There's an aubergine in his
Instagram
bio.
Before?
No.
Oh my God.
And he's now, which is, this is iconic. Okay. He's now posting loads of aubergine recipes on his Instagram.
No, he's not.
Yes. He's a diva. He's an icon.
I would think that him and Mumba would get on.
Now, they could have given him an intro. Do you know what I mean? At the start, to be like, Donal Skean, chef and former boy band person. Like, it would have helped us all to have a little bit of context as to why he was there. Right. But then the other person, I think, on the panel was Laura Fox, who's a broadcaster. So, like, obviously she's equipped. And then Samantha Mumba did say, like, this is for everyone except Bambi Thug because she loves her.
So she went for feckin' Laura Fox as well?
Yeah.
She is the nicest girl.
And works in broadcasting. So, like, literally.
RTE.
Yeah.
Born and bred.
We're not coming for you, Samantha, though. We do love you.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, we love Mumba. But
apparently, people were saying that when you watched the clip, like, they were so nice to her and they were like, you're an icon. Like, we love you. We loved all your hits. We just didn't really love this song, which is fine to say.
Yeah.
But apparently, she was kind of alluding to maybe they were rude in the green room or something like that. Anyway, I've loved it.
I can't imagine.
I think it's definitely going to be
Donal being rude or Laura Fox being rude. I don't know about the rest of them because I've never met them before. But I know they wouldn't be rude, but then
yeah,
I can't imagine that they would be.
It's definitely going to be a staple clip in Reeling in the Years. You know when you watch something, you're like, oh yeah, this is going to be history.
Yeah.
We're going to see this shit again.
So worlds collide.
We've lived through history. So I think that was a fabulous addition to this week's Chronically Offline.
Loved.
Yeah. Actually, do you know what I'm so curious about as well? I need someone to bring me up to speed on. Mm. Maybe we can do this one next week. But the Blake Lively stuff.
We'll do that next week. That's where we need to...
Okay, that's on you. Will you do that now for me?
I'll have a look at it.
Okay, that is a wrap from me and Nilo. We've loved bringing you along this week. And as always, you can get in touch with us at our Unveiled Pod on Instagram, which is a grower, not a shower. But a grower all the same. We love her very dearly. Or you can email us on. Thank you so much to that lovely person who emailed us earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, brought us in on her wedding morning. And nothing's normal, girls.
Nothing is normal.
If you can take one thing from that. And we'll be back next week and we love you all loads.
We'll be back next week. But don't forget about our bonus episode that we'll be out on Wednesday.
Yeah. Go on, Nile, fair play to you.
Bye.
This is Unveiled with Niamh Cullen and Nessa Morrissey, a Go Loud original podcast. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.